You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. Can we take a moment to read again the account from John's Gospel of that first Easter? And really, we read it with a heart shouting, Lord, will you Easter in me? Will you Easter in us this day? I want to read for us John's account from John chapter 20. And I'm going to take a minute or two to read all the way through to verse 20. Let's remind ourselves of that first Easter according to the Gospel of John. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been put on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked the woman, why are you crying? She replied, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him. Then Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, don't hold on to me, for I have haven't yet gone up to my Father to go to my brothers and sisters to tell them I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Oh, and there we have verse 18, the most incredible declaration in Scripture. Mary Magdalene left and said to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And then she told them what he said to her. Let us pray. May we, risen Jesus, today each and every one of us be able to declare with Mary, I have seen the Lord. For that changes everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you to our worship team. Good morning again, everybody. I've seen the Lord, Mary said. And it is my prayer for each and every one of us that we can declare, proclaim the same. Because that changes everything. So friends, can I just say to us before we look at this passage that I've just read for us, I remind us that really what the New Testament and in the context of the God story is wanting us to understand about the significance of this moment is this, that in the resurrection of Jesus, we have in many ways the first day of a new creation, a new humanity, a new hope, a new beginning. This is what Paul teaches us in Colossians 1:18, in 1 Corinthians 15. He reminds us, he says, look, just as the first Adam was the head of the old creation, so Jesus, the new Adam, the last Adam, in his resurrection, in his victory over death, ushers in a new creation, a new humanity, a new beginning, a new hope. And that is all wrapped up in Mary's declaration. I've seen it. I know it. I experienced it. I have seen the Lord. Friends, Mary's declaration of I have seen the Lord in the context of the God story now from this moment turns the page, begins a whole new chapter. This is the moment where we see this great redemptive reversal of what happened in the Garden of Eden. A new narrative, a new future for creation, for humanity, for you and me, a new start, a new day, a new beginning. That's why we sing. That's why we are filled with joy and why we celebrate. And we see that reality in this account with Mary and Jesus on that first Easter. A couple of thoughts, and then we're going to share communion together. I remind us that in John's Gospel, John, and I've shared this with you before, writes just so beautifully and with great intent. And throughout John's Gospel, right throughout his Gospel, there are several key themes that we are meant to recognize. And we see them here in this first Easter account again. Themes such as darkness and light. Not believing. Not understanding and understanding. Death, life, old, new. The way John writes his gospel, we see this movement, this transition from darkness to light, from the old to the new, from death to life, from not knowing to knowing, from not understanding to understanding, from not believing to believing. We see it throughout his gospel. And so it is by no accident, here's what John wants us to see, that he begins the account of that first Easter by saying Mary arrived in darkness. Remember, it was just a few verses earlier where John reminds us about Nicodemus. You remember? Go and read it at the account of Jesus' crucifixion. Just a few verses earlier, he reminds us, hey, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus when? In the night, in the darkness, not knowing, not understanding, not seeing. And then a bit earlier, the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus, one of saying, hey, you are in darkness, and to have life and to live fully and abundantly, you need to be in the light. And in fact, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and all those who follow Jesus will never be in darkness, will never walk in darkness. And so here Mary arrives in darkness. John wants us to recognize, he wants us to see us. So this is where she begins. She begins in a place of weeping and grieving and mourning in darkness, not understanding, not knowing. In other words, stuck in Friday. Stuck at the cross. This is how she comes to the grave. She comes to the tomb, not seeing in darkness, not getting it. Failing to see and recognize Christ's presence. He's not here. He's absent. They have taken him, she declares. She doesn't know. She doesn't see. She doesn't understand. She's in darkness. They've taken him. And in fact, John makes a point of this by again and again, 2, 3, 4 times, making the point of Mary saying, they have taken my Lord from me. Where is he? I wonder about the they. Who are the they? That rhymes almost, doesn't it? Who are the nameless they that she was thinking of? They have taken him from me. Grave robbers, maybe. It happened in those days. Roman authorities. Jewish authorities, who knows whom she was thinking of, but it got me thinking about the they in our lives. The nameless they. Who or what is the they in your life and my life keeping us in darkness? From seeing, from understanding, from experiencing, from knowing. See, because John's got a point to make. You see, there are many they voices in our lives and in our world today seeking to hold us back in a place of death and darkness. The nameless they of my past, my present perhaps, keeping me from seeing, keeping me from declaring, I've seen the Lord. Who or what are the they in your life? See, friends, in our contemporary, secular, post-Jesus society and world in which we live, God is said to be an delusion. A delusion. Religion is said in our society to be really just a sign or symptom of our infancy, and we need to grow up. Science has disproven. The resurrection could never possibly have happened. Some things can never be different. Some things will never change. Some things can never change, they say. Who are the they voices in your heart and your life? And the point that John wants us to recognize here, the story of Easter Sunday, is that no matter the they voices, no matter who or what the they are in your life, The risen Jesus defies the they. They will never succeed. They will not be victorious. He is victorious. He conquers. They cannot stand in the way of His plan and purpose for you and me and creation. Christ defies the they. They will never prevent His resurrection. He is in control. He is victorious, not the they, who or whatever that might represent in your life. He is victorious. They've taken Him. They've got Him. John says, no, they can't. They haven't. But Mary doesn't quite see this yet. She doesn't understand this. So let's remind ourselves of what happens here at this first Easter. So Mary goes in darkness. She goes, she's the first one there at the tomb. She runs to tell the other disciples. They like, okay, that Jesus is, that they have taken Him. He's not there. He's gone. She goes to tell Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so they say, okay, well, hang on. What's going on? So they come running. And I love how the point is made that the one got there before the other one. Oh, we always have to be first, don't we? We've always got to win. We've always got to be number one. And so they run. And so they look and they see, but Jesus is not there. But they don't get it. So they go back. Mary stays in darkness, in grief and mourning and weeping and sadness, not seeing, not understanding, not knowing, not believing. John wants us to recognize this, that this is where she's at in life, in a place of hopelessness, in a place of uncertainty, in a place of listening to the they voices in her heart. And then she sees this stranger in the garden whom she thinks is the gardener. And he asks her the same question as the angels. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for, woman? But still she doesn't see. Still she doesn't recognize. Still she's in darkness. Here it gets beautiful. And then Jesus goes. And He speaks her name. And that changes everything. Mary. And John wants us to see that this is the thing. It's the speaking of her name that makes the difference. That this movement has happened now from weeping to joy, from not seeing to seeing, from not believing to believing, from death to life, from darkness to light. When He speaks her name. I mean, He spoke to her earlier. Same voice, same Jesus. She didn't recognize Him. She didn't get it. She replies when she thought He was the gardener and when He addressed her as woman. Woman, why are you crying? And why? Who are you looking for? She replied and he said, well, sir, did you take Him? Was it you? If you've got Him, tell me. But when He speaks her name, everything changes. And we are reminded, and John wants us to be reminded. John wants us, no, hang on. Do you remember what I told you a few chapters earlier about Jesus in chapter 10, to be specific? We're in chapter 20 now. Do you remember what I told you in a few chapters earlier about Jesus being the good shepherd? And what He does is He calls His sheep by name. And then they recognize Him. And then when He calls them by name, it says what in John 10? He leads them out. Out of what? Out of darkness into the light. He leads them from death to life. He calls us by name, and he leads us from, as he calls us by name, from not seeing to seeing. From where have they taken him to? I have seen the Lord. Can you see the transition? Can you see the movement John wants us to recognize? And then the next chapter, John says, do you remember this that I told you about in chapter 11? Do you remember? There was this guy called Lazarus. You remember him? Lazarus was what? Dead. Jesus goes to see him, and what does he do? He calls him by his name. Lazarus, come out. And what happens? He lives. John wants us to remember this as he moves Lazarus, as Jesus speaks Lazarus' name. He moves from death to life, from darkness to light. And he wants us to know that this is what's happening here as he speaks Mary's name, Mary, because no one speaks our name like Jesus does. From darkness to light, from death to life, from not seeing to seeing. Thing that I want us to understand here that is so important, I think theologically, before I get to the next point, I don't want us to miss this. This is so important to understand this before I move on. That transition from death to life, from Jesus being absent to Jesus being present, that recognition, that moment of Mary moving from darkness to light, was not because of her recognition of him. She didn't. He just spoke earlier. She didn't recognize him. That life-giving moment, that salvation moment, was not because of what she did, was not because she managed to finally, eventually, after struggling in the garden for her whole life, finally she got it. Finally she wrecked. No. But instead, it was his knowledge of her. It was him seeing her. It was his recognition of her in speaking her name that brought life and salvation to her. And I think John wants us not to miss this point that Jesus is the one. I think of Ezekiel 36. I think of Jeremiah 27, where God says, I will. Five times, I will give you a new heart. I will give you new life. I will. And here we have this moment. This is what Jesus does for us. He will give us life. I mean, how much did you contribute to your physical birth? Nothing. Talking about you, not your mom. And the point I think here from John is like, before you move on, just understand this, just know this, just recognize this, so that your heart can well up with gratitude and just with joy and excitement, that in terms of your spiritual birth, your spiritual awakening of, I have seen the Lord. It's not because of what Mary did. It's not because of what you've done. It's him seeing you. Now we get to the beautiful bit. Now we get to why we sing. Now we get to what just changes everything about this day, what changes everything about the resurrection of Christ. Here's the thing I want you not to miss. How was the resurrection in John's account announced? Did angels come and announce, Jesus is alive? No. No. Did Jesus go and stand on a big stone? I'm alive, everybody. No. Here's what John wants us to see. The moment of the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was when he spoke her name. Mary. Mary. That's how the resurrection was announced. So here's the application. Here's what it means. The risen Jesus' announcement of the resurrection is to speak your name. Let me say it another way. The risen Christ awakens out of the tomb, awakens with your name on his lips. And that changes everything. He steps out of the tomb, hear me and look at me, and your name is on his lips. And so John wants us to understand and see here that this is the point of everything. This was the point of his life. The point of the cross, was it just to give Mary life? Was it just to speak Mary's name? Huh? Jesus just died for Mary and Peter and the others. No! This is the whole point of the God story, and John wants us to get, and this is what he wants you to see here, in that it is that Jesus speaks your name. That is the realization, that is the announcement of the resurrection. So Mary, in her darkness, in her despair, in her not seeing, in her disbelief, in all of that, despite all of that, not understanding and not knowing and not believing and not getting it, and in her hopelessness, in all of that's where she was at. And in all of that, Jesus comes and he speaks her name and it changes everything. And that is the message for you and I in our hopelessness, in our despair. He comes and he speaks our name. That is the point of the resurrection. It is the point of Easter. That's what it's all about. To speak your name. To speak life to us. And here, biblically speaking, the significance of God speaking your name is enormous. You can go and research it if you will. Google it. When God speaks your name in the Bible, it is massively significant, and it attests to, it affirms so many things. Here's what biblically we understand when God speaks your name, when God calls your name. When God speaks your name right throughout Scripture, it means the following. When God speaks your name, it is saying, I know you. Mary, I know you. Right throughout Scripture, when God calls you by name and speaks your name, says, I know you. I love you. You are valued. I call you. I give you purpose. I give you identity. I save you. You are saved. It's all wrapped up in God speaking your name. Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 7. When God speaks your name, salvation is implied. Transformation, Revelation 12, 2, verse 17. Transformation is implied. And then, in the most beautiful way of understanding what it means for God to speak your name, what it meant for Mary, why that was the thing that made her open her eyes and made her realize what was going on, is explained to us in 1 John 3, verse 2, is really where it comes together. Because in 1 John 3, verse 2, we are taught this and we are shared this, that because Jesus lives, 1 John 3, verse 2, because Jesus lives, those who are known by him, how do we know he knows you? He speaks your. Because Jesus lives, those who are known by him are guaranteed, 1 John 3 says, their own future resurrection and their own transformation into his likeness. No wonder Mary ran and she said, I've seen the Lord. He said my name. This was what happened. Because he lives, I now live. I will be more like him. And so when he said Mary, in just that speaking a name, what he said is, you are forgiven. I died for you. You are saved. You are known. You are loved. You are forgiven. You have purpose. You have value. All wrapped up in Mary. Today, I pray that you will hear him speak your name. That's the point of Easter. The risen Christ emerges out of the tomb with your name on his lips. Because he lives, I can live. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.